Hey, you guys, here we are once again with Tomes of Terror. This is my little book review series. So this week's read was another result of what I've taken to calling Kindle Unlimited Roulette. I'm basically just scrolling through whatever the recommended horror titles are and choosing a book at random that has, you know, a cool cover and or an intriguing title. So the one that I chose for this week is called A Place So Wicked by Patrick Ruman. I'm not really sure if it's Ruman or Royman. So, you know, I apologize. I'm hoping one of those two is right. This book was actually published in the early spring of 2021. And although going into it and when I was reading it, I thought that I had never read any of this author's work before. However, after I finished it and when I was like going back and researching his catalog, I realized that not too long ago, I had actually read one of his other books and reviewed it, matter of fact. It was his more recent novel, The Adirondack Witch, which came out in this year of like 2022. Now that book, I liked it, but I didn't love it. It was kind of like a Blair Witch, unreliable narrator, lost in the woods type of thing with like a little bit of a surreal thing. You know, and I have a review of that, so I'm not gonna like rehash it here, but I'll just suffice it to say that I had read one of this guy's books before. I just didn't remember, but like I said, I read a lot of things. It's like, you know what I mean? To be honest, I kind of had the same reaction to A Place So Wicked as I did to The Adirondack Witch. I think I liked this one slightly better because it was a haunted house story and I really, really like haunted house stories, but I still had like some of the same issues with it maybe that I encountered with The Adirondack Witch. So I'll get into that in a little bit. So A Place So Wicked has a pretty standard, you know, like haunted house type of setup. So there's a family whose last names I realized that I don't remember, and I think maybe their last names were only mentioned a couple of times and they might have been different each time. But maybe that's why I can't remember them. I could be wrong about that, but yeah, it doesn't really matter anyway. So it's just like a family. Richard and Lisa are the mom and dad. There's also an uncle who is the dad's brother. His name is Robbie, and he's helping them move and hoping that he's going to be able to stay with them in their new house for a while because I guess like his girlfriend just kicked him out. And then there are three teenage kids. You have Toby, who's 16, and then there are a set of 13-year-old, like, fraternal twins, Trevor and Paisley. Now, just like in The Adirondack Witch, which is one of the little niggling things that I had about that, there are a couple of sets of character names that start with the same letter. You know, you got Richard Robbie, you got Trevor Toby, that kind of stuff. But at least here, like, the characters are distinct enough that I didn't usually have trouble telling them apart. I think I kind of had a problem in Adirondack Witch because I think there were two character names that started with J. Maybe it was three character names that started with J, and, like, they weren't really, like, distinct enough, and I kept forgetting who was who. But that's not really that much of an issue here. So, anyway, like, the dad, Richard, works in IT, I think, and he's taken a new job in this tiny little kind of, like, map spec of a town called Black Falls, which I think is in upstate New York. Now, of course, all of the kids are bummed out that they're moving out essentially like to the middle of nowhere, and especially Toby, who is kind of like not bullied or anything like that, but he's just kind of like shy and not really all that popular. And he feels as though like at his old school, he had just gotten to this sort of satisfactory place where he had a couple of close friends and he could remain kind of like relatively anonymous and like blend into the background, which was fine with him. And now he's like, well, shit, now I'm gonna have to start all over again. What if everybody thinks I'm a loser? You know, just like the regular stuff that a teenage boy would think moving to a new town. Now, weirdly, Richard, the dad, is really, really enthused about moving specifically to Black Falls, telling his family multiple times this town is supposedly like one of the best up-and-coming towns in the United States. It's going to be the perfect place to live. So awesome. It's even established that he had gotten like a whole bunch of other job offers, maybe some of which were more lucrative, and they were like in larger cities, just so he could specifically move here. Now, the 16-year-old son, Toby, whose POV we're mostly following at the beginning of the story, although the POV character, I'm going to say right here, changes wildly and without much warning, which I'll get into like a little bit more later. He actually finds it strange, as you probably would, that his dad is so gung-ho about this place in particular. But when they arrive in town, he does have to admit that, oh, there is something really kind of nice about this place, something that he can't really quite put his finger on. Like when they first get there, like they kind of go through their list, like a barbecue and everybody's like waving at them. Like everybody seems really friendly and really welcoming initially. And even when they get to their house, it's this massive house, like way bigger than any, he said it looked like a manor house. house, and it's just like really, really gorgeous. It's all been done out and everything. And better yet, at least from Toby's point of view, there's a gorgeous girl named Addison, or Addie for short, who is the same age as him, and she lives across the street and immediately seems kind of like flirtatious and like interested in him. So Toby starts to think, hey, maybe this move isn't going to be so bad after all. But not too long after that, of course, odd little things start happening. Like, for example, when Toby is out mowing the lawn, he discovers that the grass has actually been painted green. Like, the real grass underneath is dry and dead, and like the soil is kind of weird and black. There's even like a tree in the front yard that somebody seemingly meticulously painted to look like it was alive, even though it is also like gray and dead. The dead grass like seems to surround the house like out to a certain distance, and then the grass gets normal again like outside this perimeter. There's also like this really weird, eerie like stillness and like quietness on their street in particular, though it seems like most of the other streets in town are normal. There's also the weird fact that people keep leaving like casseroles and like other food like on the front porch of their house, but nobody like knocks or acknowledges the gifts. They just kind of like leave the food and then like skedaddle, which is like really, really weird. Lisa, the mom, at one point she goes to the house next door to like investigate like, hey, why the hell is like somebody just like creeping up on our porch and leaving food there? That's really weird. You know, this whole phantom food phenomenon. But she discovers when she does that, that the house next door is actually completely empty, and most of the other ones on their street in particular seem deserted as well. So the family also noticed a horrible, like overwhelming stench that is emanating from a locked room with a red door in the basement. So the smell is so bad that at times it just kind of like permeates the whole entire house, making them all gag, and like none of them can really eat all that much because they, you know, don't have any appetite because the house smells so bad. Richard and Robbie, you know, the dad and the uncle, they want to get into the locked basement room and find out, like, maybe an animal died in there, maybe several animals died in there, and we got to, like, clean that out, like, to get rid of this fucking smell. But they keep calling the realtor to be like, hey, do you have that key? And the realtor keeps giving them, like, the runaround. No, no, I never could find that. I'll look for it. I'll get back to you. But it's been, like, weeks and weeks, and he just seems like he's blowing them off. So Richard and Robbie then try to force the door open, but weirdly, the door doesn't have any hinges to remove and really kind of like refuses to be pried open. It's just kind of like, it's almost like it was built into this door, like it's exactly the right size, you know what I mean? So there's like no hinges or no anything. So as the story goes on, each of the family members starts falling horribly, horribly ill. Like first Trevor, who's one of the twins, then Robbie, the uncle, then the parents, Richard and Lisa. Toby and Paisley seem to evade this mysterious illness, though. Probably they establish because they spend more time away from the house than any of the other family members. Toby actually starts exploring this burgeoning romance with Addison, so he's kind of out with her all the time, as well as her really weird and sort of surly best friend, whose name is Robert, I think. And Paisley, the 13-year-old, she kind of strikes up a friendship with a 14-year-old boy named Eli, who she meets at this otherwise like abandoned looking playground, but like behind his house. Now, at one stage, Toby very clearly sees what is undoubtedly a ghost, like in the attic. It looks like a woman who looks really terrified and looks like she's trying to force open the attic window to jump out, and it like replays like over and over again. At varying other times, he and some of the other characters like see a whole bunch of apparitions, like a whole bunch of people are like peering out through the windows like when they're outside, so there's that too. So basically, as events kind of start coming to a head, Toby and Paisley realize that they're going to have to be the ones to step up and like figure out what exactly is going on here, as the rest of their family are essentially have fallen like horribly, horribly deathly ill, like can't even get out of bed. They're just like puking their guts out. They look like they're just at death's door. And really, the few other people in town that are actually willing to talk to them are starting to act somewhat sinister. I won't spoil exactly what is happening, like with this house and the town, But suffice it to say that it has something to do with like the door in the basement, which is kind of like, I guess, holding back some kind of like evil force. So, as I mentioned, this is a pretty solid like haunted house story. It's nothing particularly original, but it was pretty fast-paced and pretty entertaining. I will say I really liked the initial buildup of the weirdness, like especially shit like the painted dead grass and the unseen neighbors like leaving the casseroles. Like that kind of stuff is really creepy to me just because it's so random and it's so lacking context and it isn't really like overtly threatening. It's just odd. And like to me, like that kind of stuff is way creepier than stuff that's more overtly scary. You know what I'm saying? I mean, obviously something terrible is behind that scary basement door has been done millions of times before. And I was like, hell, I just read another novel not too long ago called The Exorcist House that had a similar thing going on that had like some creepy thing in the basement that everybody was like trying to keep in there. But, you know, I didn't really mind that all that much. Basements are creepy, so, you know, a lot of stories kind of revolve around that. And I will admit that I was very interested like to see where this mystery was going to go, even though it's not, it doesn't have like a lot of twists and turns, you know what I mean? Like you're pretty clear like where it's gonna go at any given time. That said though, I did kind of feel like there was something a little bit lacking about this story. Like, and it's kind of like hard for me to put my finger on. Like the explanation behind the house and the town at large was conceptually kind of cool. If I mean, it's not that all that unique, but it was actually like kind of cool. But I kind of wish it had been fleshed out more. I mean, I'm usually, and I say this a lot, I'm usually an advocate of not explaining your mythology or your monster or anything like that too much, of like leaving some things to your reader's imagination. But I will say though that I think maybe this story erred on the side of not revealing quite enough or not explaining quite enough. While I did get the gist of what was going on, I felt like it needed a little bit more expansion, a little bit more depth, a little bit more like history behind it. The ending too was a little bit abrupt. I kind of felt like it left a lot of things hanging or a lot of things unexplained, that I kind of wish had been resolved a little bit better. Also, I have to say, like, there was a lot of character establishment, like at the beginning of the story, which is normally what you would do. But, like, for example, like, there was a kind of a big deal made about Robbie, the uncle, like him breaking up with his girlfriend, and then him having like all this anxiety about having to ask Richard to stay at the house with them. So, like, there was a little bit about that, and that was kind of gone into. And then there was like some stuff about Paisley, the 13-year-old girl, and her ambivalent feelings about this boy. Like an older boy named Brent in their old hometown who she had been texting and wanted to have sex with her, and she like just had these weird feelings about it. Like she kind of like hated him and missed him. It's like they kind of went a lot into that, but neither of these things like doesn't amount to anything. Like neither of these things amount to anything, or they don't play into the unfolding story at all, like despite how much attention is paid to those things like in the first act of the novel. And there also seemed to be like a lot of neat ideas that were introduced but not really, I guess, like not sufficiently followed up on. Like for example, and I think I alluded to this earlier, but you know, there was a lot made at the beginning about Black Falls being this town that was, you know, super up and coming. It's like turns up on all these internet lists of like best places to move this year, blah, blah, blah. And there were a number of instances where characters mentioned how this town was like the best place ever and it's like really growing and all this other kind of stuff. And I actually thought that this was gonna factor into the story more going forward. Like what I was thinking, oh, well, whatever evil that underpins this place or whatever, it's planting suggestions in people's heads and like sending tendrils out into the world to draw people there. But maybe that was the intention, but it wasn't really like elaborated on like to any great degree. So I don't know if I'm just like making that up. And I have to say too that while I absolutely loved the whole setup of the neighbors leaving the casseroles, I don't know why that was so creepy to me, but it was. The explanation for it just kind of like fell a little flat. I just felt like, oh, that's it? Okay, well that does not. I thought it was gonna be like cooler than that, you know what I mean? And honestly, it didn't really get mentioned that much afterward. I mean, I guess I just wish there had been more backstory and like more concrete reasons why certain things were happening. I mentioned earlier too that there were numerous like POV changes in the narrative as well, which made the novel read at times like a little bit like kind of cluttered and unclear. I mean, I don't have a problem with changes in POV characters, of course. You know, that happens a lot. But it's generally better to start a new section when you're inside the head of a new character, because that lessens confusion in your reader, obviously. And this one was kind of all over the place. It mostly started out from Toby's perspective, but then would like switch on a dime to one of his siblings or the other sibling, or, you know, one of his parents or his uncle Robbie. And sometimes it would do that like in the same paragraph. It just kind of came across as slightly muddled, and sometimes I had to read bits twice to make sure that I knew who it was that was talking or whose perspective we were seeing things from. There were also like some grammatical errors, like some kind of clunky, like a little bit repetitive, like sentence structure that at times kind of read a little bit like YA. I'm not really sure if that was the intention. Overall, though, I have to say I know that it sounds like I'm shitting on it, but it's like overall this was a decent read. It had some intriguing ideas and some really spooky set pieces. Like I said, I think the buildup of it was the best part. I just kind of wish that there had been maybe fewer characters and like less pointless character stuff and more stuff about the town's history and like the nature of this curse or whatever it is. I kind of wish that that had been elaborated on more, and I don't know, I just kind of wish there'd been like a little bit more depth to it and some things like explained better, rather than focusing too much on these kind of like teenagers and their character relationships, which didn't really factor into the story like going forward. So that will do it for this Tomes of Terror, and I will see you guys again on the next one. Bye.